As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire. My clothes may still be torn and tattered.
To me, being a gangster was better than being president of the United States.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
Tuesday, January 16th, tune in to all sorts of creative community radio, including at 9 a.m., Catherine Schneider, a author and educator about birds, talks about how to deal with birds in the winter with the master gardeners Tim Kennelty and Gene Thomas from Cornell Cooperative Extension in Columbia and Greene counties. We'll hear an excerpt of the Nature Calls podcast from the master gardeners today on the WGXC Morning Show. Plus, we'll hear new music from Quintron from New Orleans. Philip Grant has your local news, and the Catskill Maker Syndicate had the better weather. Stay tuned. It's all coming up after the local news on the WGXC Morning Show.
This is Mr. Petey Pete, and you are listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 and WGXC.org, streaming all over the world.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday, there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. And add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to WGXC.org and clicking on the community calendar.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at WGXC.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org/donate now.
Wavefarms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Meredith Cooey in Catskill, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
From the WGXC Newsroom.
Hello!
Now to absorb some local color through the magic of AM radio.
The book of Revelations tells us to watch for the seven signs of evil.
Bacon, sign of evil number 4.
Continuing our sign of evil countdown, here's Vanessa Williams.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. Lana Bellamy reports for the Times Union that some business owners are upset because Central Hudson wants to raise rates 16% on the average residential electric bill and 19% on the average natural gas bill to pay for system upgrades. The Public Utility Law Project, a consumer advocacy group, filed a motion in October to block the rate increase, citing an ongoing Public Service Commission investigation into Central Hudson billing errors. And many local politicians are against the rate increase, with Representative Pat Ryan showing up with the business owners and activists at a January 26 press conference in Kingston. Ryan said, and I quote, "Central Hudson's proposed double-digit rate increase is blatant corporate greed," end quote. Central Hudson spokesperson Joe Jenkins said the company is working to resolve all its customers' concerns in a timely fashion and said, and I quote, "That is why we have scheduled two additional customer service events in the coming months that give an opportunity to customers who have come to us through their elected officials to discuss any lingering concerns they have," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. The Daily Freeman reports that State Senator Michelle Henchy, who represents Greene County and much of Columbia, Ulster, and Dutchess counties, led a rally at the state capitol January 29th, asking for an expansion of the state's healthy school meal program to provide free breakfast and lunch to all K-12 students in the state. Henchy said, and I quote, "Every student, family, school, and community in New York should have the opportunity to benefit from school meals for all, and we won't stop fighting until we deliver a permanent universal program," end quote. Henchy's office said that 347,000 students in 1,200 schools got access to free school meals in the 2023-2024 school year, but 321,000 students in 650 schools could have used those meals too. Henchy said, and I quote, "Since we expanded healthy school meals last year, the transformative progress we expected is unfolding in communities across New York State. More students have gained access to free breakfast and lunch, and with that, we are actively breaking the stigma of food insecurity, keeping kids healthy, and helping them learn better, all while saving families money every week," end quote. Massachusetts, Vermont, California, Colorado, Maine, Minnesota, New Mexico, and Michigan now have universal school meal programs. Legislators recently returned to Albany and are considering next year's budget. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Andrea Mako reports for Porcupine Soup that a Catskill shop selling cannabis is now waiting for a state license after the Village of Catskill Planning Board last week approved their application for a retail store on a commercial strip off State Route 9W. The Catskill Roots store will open in a 2,020-square-foot concrete garage. The Juice Branch, currently on West Bridge Street in Catskill, is opening in another building on the property. New York has been slow to give out license for retail stores almost 3 years after recreational cannabis was legalized. Albany and Rensselaer counties have the nearest local cannabis stores at this time. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
I think at the end of the day, if you're going to go to court to try and aggressively disenfranchise people, then you're not on the side of democracy. You're not on the side of real freedom.
Democratic Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro says Republicans challenging the state's new automatic voter registration are working against democracy. Lawmakers contend the system the governor put in place never passed the legislature. Their lawsuit is in part based on the widely discredited independent legislature doctrine, which contends only those lawmakers can set election rules without judicial review. Senate Democrats want to know why the State Department approved two emergency weapon sales to Israel without congressional approval. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren says there's no blank check to disregard civilian lives.
U.S. military aid always includes conditions, and there is no exception even for our allies.
In a letter to the State Department, the Democrats say the sales are highly unusual and need oversight. Meanwhile, the White House is mulling ways to respond to a deadly drone attack by Iranian-backed militias without sparking a wider conflict. President Joe Biden says he would be willing to close the U.S.-Mexico border if Congress would only send him a bill to sign. A bipartisan group of lawmakers have been working on an immigration policy deal, but former President Donald Trump is urging his allies to reject it. Republican Senator Mitt Romney of Utah calls that appalling.
The idea that someone running for president would say, please hurt the country so I can blame my opponent and help my politics is a shocking development.
Supporters of the bill say it aims to get to zero illegal crossings a day, strictly limits amnesty, and increases detention beds to quickly detain and deport migrants. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham says it's the best they can get and also unlocks aid to Ukraine.
I don't mind helping our allies stand up to the bad guys, but we've got to fix our own backyard here. No money for anybody until we secure our border.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court wants the state's elections board to answer Democratic presidential candidate Dean Phillips' claim he's being barred from the state's primary. The Minnesota congressman accuses the state's Democratic Party of forcing him to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to gather signatures to get on the ballot. He says far-right MAGA Republicans are not the only ones undermining democracy.
Most Democrats want a different nominee. 83% of young ones want someone different. Clearly, there's more of an appetite for an unnamed generic Democrat than the existing one.
And the Supreme Court will hear oral arguments regarding mifepristone, the commonly used abortion pill, in late March. The case challenging access to the drug will mark the court's first return to the abortion issue since it overturned Roe v. Wade in 2022. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org. Hey, how are you?
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. After having its earlier state assembly and Senate maps thrown out by the Wisconsin Supreme Court in early January, the Wisconsin legislature tried to preserve its partisan advantage with its new maps. But it won't have the last word. The Wisconsin Examiner reports that January 23rd, the Wisconsin Senate passed maps which attempt to protect incumbent districts. Governor Tony Evers posted on Twitter, "Moving legislative district lines so GOP gerrymandered incumbents get to keep their seats is just more gerrymandering." After a gerrymandering-friendly court flipped to a pro-voter majority in 2023, the court threw out Wisconsin state legislative maps as not contiguous as required by the state constitution. Seven new maps submitted by the legislature, democracy groups, and plaintiff groups range from a status quo heavy Republican advantage to very competitive with a slight Republican edge. The Senate's new maps, though contiguous, rearrange Governor Tony Evers' maps in an effort to protect GOP incumbents. The Senate also created a firestorm after releasing the 169-page map proposal 24 hours before a Tuesday Senate vote, a tactic allowing no analysis by experts or the public. The tactic is not likely to work. Evers is likely to veto the maps, punting the decision back to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which, with the help of two outside consultants, will choose among the submissions. We have more on this fight at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I'm Rick Smith. And this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1921. That was the day Sid Hatfield and 22 other defendants went on trial for the murder of Detective Albert Feltz. Hatfield was chief of police in Matewan, West Virginia, when the United Mine Workers came to Mingo County to organize coal workers. The Stone Mountain Coal Company moved to smash union activity. They brought in Baldwin Feltz detectives to evict union miners from company housing. Hatfield supported the miners' right to organize and urged locals to arm themselves. He confronted the detectives at the train depot as they were leaving town for the evening about the evictions they had just carried out. The detectives presented Hatfield Hatfield with a phony arrest warrant. Surrounded by armed miners, a gun battle ensued, leaving at least 7 detectives and 4 townspeople dead in what is referred to as the Matewan Massacre. The trial was set in the Mingo County seat of Williamson, where Baldwin Felt's agents lined the streets to intimidate those sympathetic to Hatfield and the others. The prosecution hoped to prove that Felt's murder was premeditated and used the testimony of paid spies who had previously attempted to gain Hatfield's trust and friendship. According to historian James Green, author of The Devil Is Here in These Hills, the ACLU had advised defense attorneys to turn the trial into a prosecution of the coal operators by introducing in evidence the entire record of their conspiracy to deny the citizens of West Virginia of their legal rights. The defense successfully discredited these paid agents and won acquittal. When Hatfield and his deputies arrived back in Matewan, they were greeted as heroes by the entire town. Hatfield, however, had a target on his back and would be gunned down a year later, sparking a coal war which ended with the Battle of Blair Mountain. Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. Many people and organizations want to help reduce global warming, but it can be hard to know where to start or how to track the progress they're making. Mark Radonich is with Emerald Technology Group. The company makes a smartphone app called Get Green to help solve that problem.
Get Green is an app that's freely available. It educates and engages people on sustainable decisions that they can make in their daily life.
The app recommends ways to limit or reduce carbon pollution, like walking to work or planting trees. By completing different challenges, people can earn points, which helps them build new habits and even compete with others for a high score.
We like to say it's fun to use.
Companies, organizations, and local governments that have set climate goals can also use Get Green to help their communities achieve those goals. For example, a beverage company called Talking Rain recently got more than 100 of their employees to collectively log more than 3,000 climate-friendly actions in 1 month. Radonich says this kind of technology can help organizations track their progress on sustainability.
The idea that we can all do something is the strength of the app.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, January 30th. Local early morning temperatures range from 21 degrees in Tannersville to 28 in Kinderhook. Regional average soil temperature is 35 degrees. We have snow reports in from yesterday. Catskill, 1.5 inches, Philmont, 5.4, and Agra tops the list this time at 6 inches. Today there will be no snow, though it will be mostly cloudy all day. A high of 35 happens at 2 p.m. Overnight temperatures drop to 29 degrees, then tomorrow will be similar. Cloudy with a high of 39 at 2 p.m. Overnight takes us into a warmer Thursday, which will be just as cloudy but with a high of 42. Friday gets windy, cools off, high of 39. Sunset today will be at 4:52 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:06 a.m. Looking way up, we see the magnetic storms are subsiding, but could be bumped back into place by another Hadouken expected tomorrow. X-class flare chances are at 5%. Plasma winds will be average at 467 kilometers per second with an average density of 8 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair below 60 megahertz overnight. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 48, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate. This Thursday will be the Thingularity Radio Show at 7 p.m. here on WGXE. And we're going to talk about all the things that Twitter won't show you.
2023 new music from Bike, remixed by Minimi Deutsch, the German krautrock band. That's Sante Cabeza on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered community radio.
Hello, WGXC listeners. This is Kelly McCon. Campbell Hudson is hosting its monthly dinner on Tuesday, February 6th at 5:30 in our Solaris building, 360 Warren Street. Come experience community and meet new people and old friends over a freshly prepared meal made by our local volunteers. Everyone is invited and no one will be turned away. We will be glad to see you there, and please bring a friend.
WGXC has a new call-in number for anyone to leave a three-minute message that we will play back on the air. Listeners can leave as many three-minute audio letters to the editor at 518-212-7509 as they want, and WGXC will let your voice be heard on the local airwaves. The number again to call in and record a three-minute message that will be played back on 90.7 FM is 518-212-7509.
Iridescent green glow, they call it undyed.
brush, lick the brush, get a fine, fine point on the brush. Our boys overseas are counting on you to light up the dials in the dark. Thousands of lives will be saved. Radium yells, they will just fade away. Cancer remains glowing green in the grave, big man. Tell lies, put medical science aside, suited but unqualified, they said they died of syphilis. Iridescent, green glow, they call it undark. Dial painters, radium gals. Is it true? Do they glow in the dark? Lick the brush, get a fine, fine point on the brush. Lick the brush, get a fine, fine point on the brush. Lick the brush, get a fine, fine point on the brush. Lick the brush, get a fine, fine point.
That was Catskill's Reckless Eric with Dial Painters Radium Girls from his 2023 album Leisure Land.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Tuesday, January 23rd, was a busy day at the state capitol. Hudson Mohawk Magazine covered events with the Renewable Heat Now campaign, parole reform, and the New York Immigration Coalition. For part one, we start off with Betta Broad of New Yorkers for Clean Power and Laura Schindel of Food and Water Watch. Scheduled also in this at the same time, we will then also hear about elder parole and other parole reforms.
He acts now! He acts now!
It's Betta Broad. I'm the campaign director of New Yorkers for Clean Power and the Director of Advocacy and Organizing at the Association for Energy Affordability. I'm here with my dear colleague, Laura.
Please. I'm Laura Schindel. I'm a senior organizer with Food and Water Watch.
We have an amazing turnout. Over 300 people from across the state came here to rally for New York. Yay!
Governor Hochul included key parts of the New York Heat Act in her executive budget. This is a huge deal. Governor Hochul has signaled that she's ready to take the next big step on climate. And she signaled that she's committed to delivering relief to New Yorkers across the state who are struggling to pay rising energy bills and who are suffering through fossil fuel-fueled extreme weather. Now we need Speaker Hasty to make the same commitment and put the HEAT Act in the One House budget.
Right. Any more time. We have to transition now off of this outdated, dangerous, toxic, fracked gas system that is driving climate change.
Right.
We have suffered through poisonous air, through orange skies, through smoky air, through unhealthy conditions, through floods, through record-breaking heat waves. What more do we have to witness until we get off this dangerous system and transition to clean energy and clean heat now?
Yes.
What's worse is we are being asked to keep dumping billions and billions of dollars into this outdated system. We're pouring this money into the fracked gas system, which leads to utilities across the state raising rates for people who can't afford it. It's unacceptable. Yes. Some New Yorkers are going to see their energy bills go up by $75 a month.
That ain't right.
We have to get off the fracked gas system as quickly as possible, and we need to do it now.
The New York Heat Act is the solution we need. It will kickstart our transition off of fracked gas and enable gas providers to invest in renewable heating instead. It will also end the $200 million in subsidies that we are paying every year to expanding the fracked gas system. Because by law, every house has to get connected to the gas system for free if it is near a gas main. And most importantly, it will get rid of the obligation to serve. Right now, every customer that asks for gas must get connected to gas by law to the fracked gas system. Getting rid of this gas guzzling system will be a huge boost to our transition to clean energy. All of this New York Heat Act will reduce future gas rate hikes, like the ones pummeling New Yorkers right now across the state.
Governor Hochul included all of this in her executive budget. However, he left out one key part: additional protections for low-income families that are struggling to pay their energy bills every month. This is crucial. New York Heat Act utility bills will be limited to 6% of a family's income. This would save families up to $75 a month on their energy.
We can't afford to stay on fracked gas. We need the legislature. We need Speaker Hastie to follow Governor Hochul's lead and put the HEAT Act in the budget.
Our coverage of parole reform starts with Senator Brad Hoyman Siegel, lead sponsor of Elder Parole, followed by Assemblymember Michelle Szilagyi, who is head of the Black and Puerto Rican Caucus, and then Brian Hill, a paralegal with Legal Aid in Rochester, who spent much of his life in prison.
It is past time that we allow, we're just allowing, older incarcerated individuals to have an opportunity before a parole board. And as Senator Salazar, our champion on the Corrections Committee, said, it's not about automatic release. It's about having the chance at parole. Right? If you're 55 years or older and have served at least 15 years, we just want you to have the opportunity to go before the parole board. Isn't that fair?
Yes!
Isn't that just?
Yes!
And I was speaking to Mr. Steele over here, and he said to me, and he's absolutely right, that it is unconscionable that these individuals don't have a shot at parole now, automatically. And it's unconscionable what we're doing by keeping them behind bars, separated from our community. And it is harmful to our local economy that we can't return these men and women to become real activated members of their local community to support their families and their small businesses and their community organizations. So
the BPH caucus released their budget priorities, a people's agenda, and the tagline for this year is a demand for justice. So what do we want?
Justice!
And we particularly want parole justice. Because we know that the war on drugs was really a war on people, and that Black and brown communities were at the brunt end, and we today are still suffering from the effects of mass incarceration.
That ain't right!
That's why we need to ensure that our elders are given dignity and given an opportunity to stand before the parole board. That's all we're asking. And so we stand here united as the caucus members, 77 of us, demanding that this bill come to the floor.
Yeah.
And that we want it now, because we cannot wait. We need to bring dignity to our community.
Yeah.
You say that you're in line, you want health equity, you want equality for all, you want to make sure that Black and brown folks are given and closing, the disparity gaps are closing. So show us that.
That's right.
Don't talk about it. Be about it.
Brian Belt. I'm a paralegal at the Legal Aid Society Decarceration Project. I'm also 1199 SEIU Union Delegate. I served 18 years and 9 months in prison. I went to 6 parole boards. My first initial 3 parole boards, I was denied without the full record. They didn't have my sentencing minutes. So I was denied 6 years without them even having the complete record. So what type of consideration is that? When I was released, like I feel like I was ready to go home many years prior to being released, even before my minimum sentence. But I was released a day before my 39th birthday in 2011. When I was released, I had spent 50% of my life in prison, and I came home with nothing. I had to figure out how to rebuild my life, and that was the hardest thing in the world, to not go back to like negative things and to not give up. While I was doing the time, when I had year 5, year 10, year 12 in, I didn't know whether I was going to ever have, be able to make a better life for myself, whether I was going to have a family, whether I was going to even make it through my incarceration. When I came home, I was luckily able to have a few friends from childhood that put resources in my hand, that gave me a support system. A lot of us don't have that. So that helped me. I got my bachelor's degree, and I started a couple businesses, and I was able to work at Legal Aid as a paralegal. I taught myself law in prison. I helped guys get out. The only reason I was able to have success and to successfully reintegrate in society is because I planned this. Those same people that are not getting fair opportunity at the parole board, they're just like me. I'm no different than them. And if they're given the opportunity, they will have success too. And they come from our communities, black and brown communities. And we want them back in our communities because we feel that they're assets. We're asking for the legislators to pass elder parole and fair and timely parole so that black and brown people that have been incarcerated for many years can get an opportunity to come home to their communities. Thank you.
This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Well, I look out the window and what do I see? The breezes are blowing the leaves from the trees. Everything is free. Everything but me. I'm gonna take this chain from around my finger, throw her just as far as I can sling her, 'cause I wanna be free. When my baby left me, everything died, but a little blue bird's singing just outside, singing tweedledee-dee. Wanna be free.
La despensa de alimentos de Catskill está localizada en la parroquia de la Iglesia de St. Luke en Catskill, en la calle William, número 50. La despensa está abierta todos los viernes de la 1 hasta las 4 de la tarde. La comida sana es un derecho. Para más información, bienvenidos a todos a venir. Llamar por teléfono a 551-299-2456. Mirar la página web catskillfoodpantry.org o conectar con nosotros en Facebook en Catskill Food Pantry.
Next, here is Columbia County's Elvis Perkins with the song Sea Monkey from his 2020 album Creation Myths.
Spend
That's 2022 new music from Aaron and Barky. The album is called Shebang, and that's track number 3 on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your home for all sorts of new music.